She hasn't whined this whole time until we start recording. Anyway.
It's just the way she looked at you. Like, oh, I could see, like, a little bit of her head just between your shoulder and the mic filter. And she just, like, looked over. Like, she knew you were talking about her.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I am interviewing Molly Richardson, who is living her dream by being an entrepreneur. Welcome to the show, Molly.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for choosing to come on. I really appreciate it. Why don't we get started by giving some background about yourself?
So I grew up in Florida. I, you know, was a normal, typical kid and went to school and then went to college and graduated and got a job. And I live now in Alabama with that job, and I'm working my way out of it into the entrepreneur field. So it's a very broad about me.
Well, you also just started up a podcast, right?
I did, yep, with a friend. We met actually online, and we started a podcast called Okay to Be LGBT. And it's really, you know, you asked earlier, you know, off, you know, the record, but if we had any plans to monetize it. And we kind of just, right now, we're just kind of building our audience and just trying to get people listening to the show and sharing all this great advice and stories. And we're starting our own interviews and stuff like that. So we just really hope to kind of share and spread a little bit more light onto the LGBT community and the different struggles and all that good stuff that, and bad stuff that comes along with the territory.
Well, could you talk a little bit about the struggles you've incurred?
Sure. I just got married recently in February, and I live in Alabama, so it's technically not legal. And we had just a ceremony and a reception and everything. And we had issues with vendors. We have issues sometimes just going out to eat. It's not like, I say that, but it's not like a huge thing. It's just like, you know, you can tell when people are uncomfortable. And so you kind of have to change what you're doing to make other people less uncomfortable. And it's not bad, but it's not amazing either. So I don't know. I don't have any like really terrible stories. Like, I don't have any really bad stories about, you know, discrimination, quote unquote. I know we had issues getting vendors and stuff, and it wasn't super easy, but it wasn't as big of a challenge as it has been for other people in the community. So I feel like I'm a little bit more privileged, and so sharing my story and helping bring other stories to light, I think, is a good, you know, and my co-host Kim feels the same way. You know, she had some issues, but not near as much as what we've heard from other people in the community. So, you know, we're trying to build a community on Facebook and stuff like that to be more of a support network and, you know, help people who weren't as fortunate as we are.
What exactly brought you to Alabama?
My job. Yeah. I went to engineering school, and when I graduated, that was the job offer I took. I got a nice scholarship with the government, and so they placed me in a position down here in Huntsville, Alabama. So that's why I'm here. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have picked to live here.
What part of Florida were you originally from?
Jacksonville. So it's a pretty big city. We live kind of in a suburb, kind of not in a suburb, but grew up, you know, middle class. I think, you know, I read books all the time, and one of the books I read recently was Lynchpin and some other books that are similar to that. And they really talk about how the middle class is kind of stuck in a never ending cycle of going to school, getting a job, working your job, and then your kids don't know any more or know any less than that. And I think being able to be an entrepreneur will help me raise my kids.
When you got married, did you get married in Alabama or did you get married out of state? So, I mean, you said it wasn't legal technically.
Yeah, so we just had a wedding, like a ceremony and a reception. We actually haven't traveled to another state to get the actual like legal documentation paperwork. There isn't really one too close to us as in like driving distance. I mean, I guess we could go to Illinois. I think Chicago is like 8-hour drive. So it's not too super far, but it's not convenient by any means.
So is your plan to stay there?
Yeah. I mean, we like it here. Her family's from here. So I don't think we're going to be going anywhere. I mean, we might travel and, like, see the world and, like, maybe visit different places. She's a nurse. So, you know, maybe one day she'll travel nurse. She used to travel nurse, but maybe she'll do it again and we can go live somewhere for, you know, 3-6 months and just kind of travel. And because as an entrepreneur, you know, you can pick up your laptop and go wherever you need to go. So that's a convenient part of being an entrepreneur.
So what does being an entrepreneur really mean to you then?
I think being an entrepreneur means always excelling and always wanting to take whatever you're doing to the next level. I think a lot of people take it as just wanting to work on your own, but I think you're always going to have somebody who is not necessarily your boss, but when you're in the entrepreneurial field, you'll still have clients who end up becoming your boss because you have to make them happy. So I think it means more of like, always taking what you're doing to the next level. So if you have a product or a service or a program, every time you do it better and better. And you're never happy with median results. You always want above average results. You know, like both of us want like crazy amounts of downloads.
So what would you say inspires you?
I would say my family inspires me a lot and, you know, building a family. Also what inspires me is just having the time and financial freedom to kind of live the life that I love. Not have to worry about going into work every day, 9 to 5, not having to worry about, you know, the mortgage payment, the car payment, which, you know, we have, but the goal will be to eventually get out of those. So we're not living in a debt-free, or we are living a debt-free lifestyle.
So how did your dream about being a entrepreneur come about?
I started out doing website design and consulting, got into SEO and social media, but I did it all kind of just as a hobby, like on the side of my full-time job. And I never really knew a lot about owning your own business or entrepreneurship or anything like that. And so I started learning more and more about it. And once I did, I realized that I really enjoyed traveling, meeting people across the country, doing really cool things and then so my 9 to 5 got more and more mundane throughout that process.
I guess first off, let's go into how was coming out as a lesbian received by your family members and friends?
It wasn't amazing at first, but eventually it was okay. And so now everything's good and normal as it, you know, quote unquote normal. And I think one of the things upon coming out and, you know, having a business and everything, you're consistently having to kind of come out. It's because, you know, you're working with people online, whether they're on Facebook with you or they're emailing you back and forth, and then you build kind of a personal relationship. That sort of stuff comes out because, you know, people start talking about family and they start talking about what you're doing on the weekends, just because once you build that personal connection, those are things you ask. And so at first when I was building my business and I was very closed with, you know, that kind of stuff. Like if people would bring it up, I'd kind of avoid the topics. But once I started really taking hold and owning it, I've actually seen even a more response and better business because the people I feel are more in line with, you know, my beliefs and my, you know, just who I am. They're more aligned with. And so it works out better in a business relationship. To have that personal acceptance and understanding and, you know, it's always easier to work with somebody you already know and trust than it is somebody you don't know. And then if they're not even fully disclosing everything about them, you know, it's kind of hard to, which you wouldn't know if they didn't disclose, but I don't know. You can be held back. You can be restricted.
So how was it received by your mom and dad?
My mom didn't take it as well as my dad did. But I mean, after about 6 months or a year, it was pretty back to normal. My mom wasn't, I mean, she struggled with it early on just because it kind of shattered some of the dreams she already had for me in her mind. You know, like moms always create like a dream of what they want their kids to grow up and be and do. And that was never something that was in the plan, I guess. So, which looking back, it's kind of curious that she didn't know, but she's a little innocent, so.
Well, come on now. Then that would insinuate that being a lesbian isn't innocent.
No, I'm saying, like, she's innocent, like, even if it were, like, a straight or whatever thing. Like, she's just not, she's not big on the TMI train.
So moving along, how was your dream of being an entrepreneur received?
You know, it's tough too because they had a dream for you and it's a little bit different. And I don't think my parents quite understand it. Like, I think that's a common issue with entrepreneurs is their family and their, you know, significant others, they don't understand what it is to be an entrepreneur and what it is to own your own business and what it takes to do that. And just, we do it because we love to do it and it's our drive and our passion. And if they don't see that, if they don't see the potential that it is entrepreneurship, then it can be seen as a negative thing. But I think once, you know, my parents now, like when I first started talking about it, they thought I was crazy, you know, to leave my job, which is stable and a government job, which I'd probably never lose unless I did something highly illegal. But I think that they now, after, you know, 2 years or so of in being in this space, I think they realize that I'm happier when I do it. I can still support, you know, and do what I'm doing now, you know, house and car and all that stuff, but also travel and stuff like that. So I think that they realize they came to terms with realizing it could be everything that working for somebody else could be: stable, secure, you know, all that stuff.
So what steps did you take to get started being an entrepreneur?
Starting a business. You know, I filed my LLC paperwork and I'm sole proprietor. So it's easy to file taxes that way because it's underneath you. But eventually I'll probably take it and make it a corporation because then you can claim even more things. But, you know, I think non-business steps is more mindset and being prepared for what it takes to do all of it. You know, it's not a walk in the park every day, but it's also well worth it when you can take days off or you can travel or you can do, you know, kind of whatever you want once you're done with what you need to take care of.
And what exactly does your company do?
My company is totally infused, by the way. I do marketing funnel and software automation. So I work a lot with tools like Infusionsoft, OptimizePress, LeadPages, AWeber. Pretty much any software tool that if you own a business, you're probably an online business, you're probably using WordPress.
So what roadblocks have you hit along the way?
I think my biggest roadblocks have been time and finances. So managing my time efficiently between having a job and trying to run and build a business has been challenging, to say the least. And then finances. I'm good with numbers, like as an engineer, like I love numbers, but I hate looking at finances. I don't want to worry about it. I just want it to all work out. Like I would rather just do what I do and not have to worry about anything, not have to worry about bills, not have to worry about anything. So eventually I'm going to have an accountant that manages all of that and I don't have to even look at it.
So how do you overcome those roadblocks?
Yeah. So with time, I've started using some tools where people can schedule time with me, like Appointment Core is what I use. It's for Infusionsoft customers, but there's other tools out there like Time Trade and Meet Me and Schedule Once. But those tools help me. So like if somebody wants to schedule time with me or like a call or an interview or anything, I can send them a link and then they just pick time out of my calendar that they want. And then it emails me that it's scheduled rather than going back and forth with, you know, when can I call you? When can you call me? Blah, blah, blah. And then for finances. Yeah. So right now I'm not doing a very good job of it. So I haven't really overcame that obstacle yet. I think for me though, using tools like I told you about Wake Up Now that I'm involved in, it's got like a financial management tool, which I'm using mostly for personal finances, but for business finances, you can do like all of your taxes in it. And it's got like a TaxBot app and stuff that I can use. So that's kind of my solution for that is the Wake Up Now stuff. For sure.
So can you share a favorite memory?
Ooh, favorite memory would be from high school, my senior year, when I won a state championship in soccer. I won it my sophomore year too, but my senior year was the best because it was my senior year and I was a captain.
Very cool. So is there any parts of your dream that haven't quite worked out yet?
I'm still at my job. I'm just kidding. You know, I think a part of a dream though is the journey and the process and everything. So I don't take anything lightly. I know a lot of people say that they just quit their job and then they had to make it on their own. I think that's a little... You did that? I did that. I don't know if I'm just... Some people say you're holding yourself back when you do that. But I'm just trying to be smart and not, you know, lose my house or my car. Or I don't want to be on Lizard Licking. I'm just kidding. That's the repo thing for anybody who's never heard of that, where they repo your car and then they... reality TV you being mad about it. You know, I think it's all a journey. I'm only 25. I've got I don't want to say a ton of time left, but I definitely, you know, have a good 5 more years in my 20s. So I'm taking it and just making the right complete life decisions, not just jumping into things and then 2 years down the road, I'm screwed. So
what do your dreams for the future look like?
I think for me, it's just living a life where I can be free to choose and do what I want and not be limited by debt, not be limited by what I've put myself into position-wise. Being able to live a life that I love and spend time with family, do things that I love. Like, I love doing marketing funnel and software automation. I'm nerdy and stuff like that too. So it's kind of like a combination of finding what I love to do, which I found in the past year, you know, with all this stuff, and then creating the lifestyle that I want to live, you know, the house that is mostly paid off, the car, just, you know, and those are the, you know, the main things, like, money wise that people talk about. But, you know, just having those things in life where you're not worried, you're not stressed, you're enjoying life and in the right mindset to enjoy life rather than being stressed by things like money or, you know, having a clean house, that kind of thing. I don't know what else people stress about. I feel like everybody stresses about money. I think that's the primary one.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Yeah, listen to my podcast with Kim and I, and you'll get even more of a coming out story. And I think one of the next episodes, we're going to be talking about LGBT in the workforce. So that'll be a fun topic because I talked about it a little bit today.
With that said, would you like to plug your Facebook groups, your websites?
Yeah, so my business Facebook page is, or website is www.totallyinfused, like infused, like I-N-F-U-S-E-D. And then our website for our podcast is Okay to Be LGBT, and it's O-K, and like O, the letters O and K, and then T, and then the two, and then B is B-E, and then LGBT. So we made that really complicated for people. But if you see the podcast cover, it's very obvious. And you can join our Facebook group. If you just go to our website, there's links to it on there. But yeah, we're just kind of building that community up. So I like it. People post stuff all the time, and so I get to learn things about what's happening around the country and the world through it. So it's always good when your followers teach you things, right?
Yeah, no, I'm learning every day. And with that said, it's nice to see that you already have a community building up to interact with. And we were talking before the show about how the other LGBT, did I say that right? LGBT, yeah.
Yeah, we mess it up on our own show. It's totally cool. As long as you get all the letters in there, it works. It applies.
You know, how the other shows aren't really, I don't know if they're necessarily a good representation.
No, and we found that, you know, we started talking about doing she's already done a podcast. And so we were talking about doing one that was, you know, LGBT related. And we started researching and we found that a lot of them weren't very family friendly. And a lot of them were also like all over the place or they weren't recent. And so we felt like there was a pretty good opportunity to build a community and create a podcast and talk and get like avid, loyal listeners that, you know, we could actually make a difference in their lives and their friends' lives and stuff like that. So we thought it was of need and we found that it was. And so we just hit the ground running.
Well, Molly, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I wish you the best of luck with your podcast and your community, and I would love to have you on again in 6 months to a year, and we'll talk about how things are going.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.